Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. Is everybody, I'm sure everybody is already used to writing 2020 on documents, right? How many of y'all have already messed up and written 2019 on something, 19 on something? There we go. All those, that's the frustrating part about the start of a new year, isn't it? Because you'll do that, and then somewhere you'll mess up some legal document along the way, and they'll give it back to you and say, well, this is 2020. It's not 2019 anymore. But thanks be to God that He's given us yet another year. We're glad and looking forward to what it is that He has in store for us. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, as folks are finding that, if there are folks that are visiting with us today for the first time, or it's been a while since you've been with us, please take a moment, if you would, fill out one of the guest registration cards that you'll find located in your bulletin, and drop that in the offering plate as it comes around. That gives us a record of your attendance, but it also gives us a way to share a little bit more with you about us here at Central Baptist Church, and we welcome you today. If there's anything we can do to make your visit more pleasant, or if you need directions, just grab one of us and we'll get you pointed in the right direction. But we welcome you today, and we're blessed that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior today at Central Baptist Church. As we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, particularly in chapter 3, this is a statement that I haven't really heard a newer generation say a lot, but I heard an older generation use this term a lot. How many of you all have ever had a grandma or somebody, maybe even you used it yourself, but use that term, there is a season, or a season in life? How many of you all have heard or know what I'm talking about? Yeah, to everything, there is a season, meaning essentially that there is a time that things are taking place. And that is exactly what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is looking at. And as we look at this, there are some insights that we can get as we begin a new year. There are very important truths that we can learn. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and give you the three things I want to point out in Ephesians chapter 3, just in case I run out of time, because you know me, I tend to have an occasion to run out of time. But the three things I want us to understand out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is, first of all, this, that in order to enter a new season in our lives, we often must be stripped of the last season. You can't start something new unless you finish up over here. You don't start a new chapter in the book unless you have finished the previous chapter, correct? Everybody reads the same way I do, right? Doesn't do any good to go on to the next chapter until you finish a chapter. And some of us need to finish the chapter. Some of us are prolonging the chapters in our lives, and we keep going on and going on and going on. Listen, you will never get to the end of the story unless you move on to the new chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 helps us to see that. The second truth I want us to see from the Word this morning is that comparison of your seasons in life with someone else's can kill the contentment in your life. Now, I know I might be preaching to the choir here. If you compare yourself, your life, your season with somebody else's, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself in a major discontented way. Why is that? Because we can always find something or somebody that we kind of envy, don't we? You know, I'll get to it in a minute. I'm just giving you the truths right now. Now I'm preaching. But you got truth one and truth two. Here's truth three that I want us to see out of the Word this morning. And that is this, that the future is clear to God. Oftentimes it's fuzzy to us. So we need to trust the one who knows. That's not always easy, is it? God has 20/20 vision, doesn't He? Did y'all like that? Did you get that? And I snuck in it. God has 20/20 vision. It's not fuzzy to Him. Your life, the things that are going on, the things that we don't understand, God sees and knows very, very clearly. Look with me, if you would, this morning at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear down, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You today, we ask that Your Spirit would make very, very clear to us what it is that You want us to learn and what You want us to know from Your Word today. That, Lord, we may review the season that we're in. Father, I know there will be some today who are in a season that is that they don't like in their life. I pray that they will embrace the season and learn from You. Father, there are those of us today that are in good seasons of our lives, and we never want it to end, but we must know and understand that the season will change. But most of all, Father, we need to know and understand that even when we cannot see clearly, You see everything. Your vision is 2020 from before the beginning of our lives to the very end of our lives. You know, and You have ordered our steps. Help us, Lord, to trust You. Lord, use me, Father, as Your speaker for these moments, because, Lord, I'm nothing and no one without You. Only You can make Your word make sense. May Your Spirit permeate the hearts of Your people today, as though we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we begin to think about these things, there is so much that we can learn from seasons, and so many lessons that we learn. We can even think about it in regard to seasons as we know them: spring, summer, winter, and fall. They each have their own little kind of picturesque type view to it, don't they? Yeah, when we think about it now, when you look outside, the leaves are gone, or they're on the ground, blowing away, creating work for you, right? They used to be on the tree, and they used to be green, and it used to be lush. The grass was green. It was beautiful. But we enter into times and seasons where we will see a change. Now, I've often said this about North Carolina. North Carolina is kind of unique. We like to skip spring and fall, don't we? We like to go straight from one season to the next. Yet they're still on the calendar. It's supposed to be kind of a gradual kind of a turn. But see, you know, seasons change and times change. And oftentimes it's abrupt. And I see the same thing happening in life. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There have been seasons and times in your life when there has been a pretty abrupt change. Storms have come along. I mean, how many times have you thought about that all of a sudden a storm ushered in a complete change? If you've hung around for the last couple of weeks, you saw that when you were wearing like shorts and t-shirt. Yeah, and then a few hours later, yeah, a storm comes through, and the next thing you know, it's freezing cold. Does anybody remember that? Can you think that far back? Those storms often usher in something new. And the same is true in life. Oftentimes when the storms of life come, God is ushering something new into our lives. It's not always something that we enjoy. When we begin to think about that, I thought about how many times I've sat around even here at the office and looked at and watched the trees being pruned. And if you have fruit trees, you've seen that as well. Oftentimes this is done toward the end of summer as it starts to head into winter, when the plant essentially goes dormant. You know, the sap is no longer running. We're my country people, you know what I'm talking about. The sap's not running. That's often why and when they will prune trees. Now that tree... That tree's not really digging them up there, sitting there just hacking limbs off of it, is it? That's not what it wants. None of us like to cooperate with the pruning that God often has to do in our lives. But in John 15:2, you don't have to turn there, but it says this: every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, but it may bear more fruit. You see, when they prune those fruit trees at the end of the summer, and they kind of, and I'll use that fancy word, convalesce over the winter time. Yeah, when the spring comes and life begins to start to pulsate back through those trees, not only will they bear fruit once again, it says they will bear more fruit, that they might bear much fruit. And that is the reason why those trees are pruned. And folks, that is the reason why God often has to prune our lives. Now, some of you all out here are green thumb people and you know and understand things. I'm not. I mean, you know, there have been times that Joanne did this, our administrative assistant, as well as Debbie, that I'll have a plant in my office and they will come in and they will pull off those dead leaves. And they're like, "What are you leaving this dead stuff on here for?" And I'm like, "Well, okay. Why are you pulling it off? I mean, I know it's a little ugly, but there's got..." Well, but see, what happens is as long as it's attached, it is robbing the plant of nutrients. So you pull those off, that it doesn't harm the rest of the plant. See, I've learned a few things. I've listened to the secretaries along the way that have given good advice. Pull that off! Don't let it drag things down. Are you picking up the spiritual concept there? Yeah, there's some pruning that God may be doing in your life, and it's not necessarily fun when you're in the middle of it, but the reason it's taking place is that not only that you would produce fruit, but that you would produce much fruit and more fruit as you go forward in the seasons. You know, when we begin to look at this new year, I would say that one of the biggest things that we need to do is seize the day. Yeah, this is the day. We say it all the time. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But yet, do we really do that, or do we just say that? Do we really go out to seize the day? The best way to do that, particularly as you close out a year, as you begin another one, is to close the past. And we talked about that last week. You have got to close the past. You cannot leave that open. As good as it may have been, it is in the past. As bad as it may have been, it is in the past. And today is a new day. God has new plans. You cannot change what took place over there. Now, I'm going to try not to get too preachy on this. But it tends to happen when I do it. Why is it that I say that? The reason I do is because oftentimes what happens is we get so caught up allowing Satan to use our past against us that it defeats us for today and it defeats us for the future. You know what? See, here's the thing that you got to understand. Some people today that will come into this place are going to allow 2019 to completely mess up their 2020. They're already doing that. See, not only will some people allow their 2019 to mess up their 2020, some will allow their year 2000 to mess up their 2020. Some will not only allow the 2000, there will be some in here that the 1980 is messing up their 2020 because you have never, ever allowed the Lord's forgiveness to wash over you. You have not allowed the Lord to forgive you in such a fashion that you have forgiven yourself because He's forgiven you. Remember, I said I'm going to try not to get too preachy on that point. But you get what I'm saying? You will never be what God wants you to be in 2020 if you can't get past 1970 or 80 or 90 or 2000 or 2019 or yesterday. You can't. The Lord says you must strip off the old to head into the new. Here's something to consider. I was growing up, most of us are familiar with baseball and how it's played. I was a baseball player from the time that I could hold a bat and they had a team all the way up till I graduated from high school. And all through that time, I was a catcher. And a catcher has some pretty significant equipment difference than the rest of the folks. There's the helmet, there's the chest protector, there's the shin guards and all these things. And you know, the thing about it was, when it came my time to bat, I didn't go up to bat with my catcher's helmet and mask on and my chest protector and my shin guards. That would look silly, wouldn't it? If you watch baseball today, you don't see the catcher walk up there in his full catching regalia to go to bat. You see, because what's happened is he is now on the offensive side when he has a bat. When he's a catcher, he's the defensive side. But you've got to take it off. You've got to strip that stuff off. At times it was frustrating, particularly if you were the third out.
Then you had to hurry up back there and you had to put all that stuff back on because you had to get out there and catch again. You don't go to bat with the catcher's equipment on. You got to strip it off to move forward. And folks, you cannot go forward with this big burden of stuff that you're carrying, especially a big burden of stuff that God's already forgiven you of if you've carried it to Him. You got to strip it off. You got to leave it behind you to enter a new season. You must often be stripped of the one that you knew before. And sometimes that's hard to do if it was a good season, isn't it? We don't like that. Some of us want a ride of victory from 20 years ago. You can't do it. Some of us want to ride victories and we're still living in the past and it's time to move forward. What is it that Ecclesiastes said? And it's interesting that when you look at Ecclesiastes, especially in chapter 3, verses 3 and verse 5, we read that there's a stripping away before we read of an adding on. Did you get that? Something's usually stripped away before something is added on. I've said so often what it is we've got our hands so full of good stuff, even good stuff, and we're walking around like this. And you know what happens? God says, I've got something really, really great for you. And He's holding it out to us. And you know what our problem is oftentimes? We won't reach out and take it, but do you know why we won't? Because our hands are full! We don't want to let go of this! To get that. Have you ever done that before where you've been like, somebody's trying to hand you something and you want or you need to take it, but yet you're like, you got this juggling act going on, you know, and God says, I want you to set that down. You're like, I don't want to do it. He's like, no, but this is so much better. But I like what I've got. Listen, we are some stubborn Baptists, aren't we? If we ain't never done it that way before, we don't want to do it that way. I mean, listen, if God's got something great on the horizon for us, don't we want to reach it? And sometimes that means we got to let go of what's in this hand to reach out for what He's offering to us. Well, that's the greatest journey there ever is. It's an exciting journey, but a lot of it is how we view it. What is our attitude when it comes down to it? Are we going to go into 2020, into the unknown, with the excitement that it's a great ride, or are we going to be going? Are we going to be drug into 2020 going, I'm comfortable over here? We like familiarity, don't we? We like being where it's comfortable. We like where we know what's going to happen day and night. Where are my schedule people out here? You have a schedule and it does not change. If it changes, somebody's not happy. Well, we always eat roast beef on Tuesday night. What is this chicken? I mean, some people even get to that particular point. Listen, branch out. Try something new. God has got some new things on the horizon. He says there is a time and a season for everything. What is your time and season? It's a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. And He says in those particular verses that there are going to be some things stripped away before there are some things that are added on. Yeah, I sit back and I think about this, that several couples in our church are going to be getting married over the next few months. You getting ready, aren't you, brother? Yeah. Getting married over the next few months. And if their marriages are going to thrive, both of them, each side of the equation of the couple are going to have to let go of some of the ways that were the things that singles do. You don't do the same thing as a married person as single people did. It's hard to get that through to some people today. When you are married, you don't do that. I'm not switching gears to marriage counseling, but there's a change. There are some things that change that naturally should change. You know, too many have let what happened, you know, over time mess them completely up. And the past is like a folder. If you ever notice that, it's like this folder that you keep sticking stuff in. And here's what we do. We file everything, don't we?
Mike got mad at me. Folder. Jeff said I did a good job. Folder. This is how the Lord feels. And we've got a stack, a folder that thick that we move around with every time. And you know what the thing about it is? The file gets so full, who can really tell what happened? You ever had one of those folders? You're like, well, this is out of place. Yeah. I like an expression. I can probably use it in this service, but yeah, I think that's kind of what's being meant in the old Barbara Streisand song. That says, can it be that it was so simple then? Has time rewritten every line? Time does, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we have completely messed up what really happened because of the way we have viewed it, whether good or bad. You go back and you look at it and it's no longer accurate. Yeah, why should we let an imperfect memory drag us down today? So that we will not reach our potential for tomorrow. We need to get a little bit of amnesia going on, don't we? When it comes down to things that God has already forgiven us of. See, if you're in a season that you don't like, take encouragement. Why is that? Because the prophet Daniel said that by, of course, yeah, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Daniel 2:21, he changeth the time and the seasons. See, the principle that we ought to be forward-looking is found throughout the scriptural passages. I'll just give you a few. I'm not going to read them for the sake of time, but Isaiah 43:18-19, Philippians 3:13, and the passages in Philippians that we looked at last week. So as we begin 2020, it's a good time to mentally and prayerfully let go of some things in order that we might grasp the other things that God has in store for us. He's sitting there saying, with better things, will you take this? And we're going, well, not right now because I'm holding on to these. But don't forgo God's best. Just because you've got something in your hands right now that you think is so good, because only God will allow those things to pale in comparison. Now, that's point one. I have maybe a few minutes left, but let me hit point two. Point two is that when you compare your season with somebody else's season, you wind up disappointed, don't you? Have you ever thought about that? Now, most of us a lot of times won't admit that, but we have driven through the neighborhood and we've looked at other people's houses and said, boy, I'd like to have that. You've looked at somebody else's car and said, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I'd like to have one of those. See, here's a problem. Usually, when we compare, here's what happens. We only see the things we like. See, we want, we look up there and say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, I wish I had their house. Have you seen their mortgage? Have you seen their taxes? Have you seen their power bill? You all understand what I'm saying, don't you? See, we always want to pick out the good things, and we've learned this lesson by a really age-old tale that the grass is not always greener on the other side. That's in the Bible somewhere. The grass is not always greener on the other side. And all of us have experienced that in some way, shape, form, or fashion, where you thought something was going to be so much better, and when you got there, you found out it wasn't. And all God's people that have experienced that said, amen. See, when we can make comparison, we only pick out the good stuff that we see. Let me tell you what we are not allowed to do. See, here's why. You're always going to see somebody that's in a different season of life than you are. And most of the time we see the ones that are in the good season. They're in the summer, and we might be in the dead of winter. And we look at them and we begin to envy them. But you'll always see somebody in a different season, and it will always make you envious of them. But be careful, because let me tell you what you cannot do. You cannot live life like it's a smorgasbord. You cannot live life like it's a buffet. Going down through there going, oh, I think I'll have this. Oh, a little bit of that. I don't want that.
No, no. No, no. Life is not a buffet. That's not how it works. God has a plan. Yeah, and so often, one of the things I thought about when I thought about this envying and wanting something somebody else had, I remember when I was growing up in school, we actually did little projects. We planted seeds in milk cartons and, we got little caterpillars and watched them, what's the big word? Metamorphosis. I don't know if I used it right, but I'm in the area. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I remember I found this really, really pretty caterpillar one day, and I thought, this is going to be the bomb diggity, because our teacher said, you get those, we'll keep them, we'll watch what they do. Beautiful caterpillar. I thought, I can imagine what this butterfly is going to look like. You know what that cotton-picking thing was? Oh, nasty brown-looking moth when it finally came around. It was a gorgeous caterpillar. I thought, yeah, man, I got the thing here. Nasty old brown, dirty looking moth when it metamorphed into what it was. You see, you gotta be really, really careful that you don't go envying something somebody else has, because generally you're gonna find a dirty brown moth. Although it might look like a pretty caterpillar. You're liable to find you a dirty brown moth. See, the reason that this is very dangerous to do in making those comparisons is because you cannot pray away a season in your life. And a lot of us have tried to do that. Now let me make it make more sense to you. You can't pray a season away. You can't pray away being an infant. You can't pray away being a child. You can't pray away being a middle adult. You can't pray away being a senior adult. A lot of you have tried. Maybe more so later on. You said, I want to pray away being a senior adult. I want to be 20 again. No, you don't. No, you don't. You cannot pray those seasons away. God makes all things beautiful, according to this scripture, in their time. And each season has a reason, and there is a beauty about that particular season. Discontentment may get you to try to force yourself out of a season in your life that God wants you to go through. You know, and here's the thing that we've got to understand, and this is what I'll close with. We see the picture fuzzy. And we've seen it several times throughout the Word where it says that we see through a glass dimly, remember that? But in due time, we will see clearly. God's vision is perfect for us. And although we can't see it, and although we cannot understand it, we cannot predict what our life is going to be like. God knows what it's going to be. So here's the thing we ought to do. Why can't we just trust Him? Even when we don't understand it. I thought about that when we try to predict so many things. And I looked this date up. It was July the 25th of the year 2013. The National Weather Service shifted its operational weather models into this new supercomputer that was capable of processing 213 trillion calculations per second. Per second. And with all that processing power, they still can't tell you what's going to happen next month on this time. In fact, most of them are doing real good to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen? You ever notice that it's like one of them deals where they say, it's going to snow and it's going to be deep. It doesn't snow. And when they tell you, oh, this is no big deal, don't worry about it, it usually piles up to your knees. Even with all this information, we cannot predict what is going to happen. You cannot predict that about your life, but you don't need to, because God's got your life ordered, and what we need to do is trust Him. That's what we need to do. It's as simple as that. Trust Him. To enter a new season, you got to be stripped of the old. You got to be stripped of the past. There's a time to hold on and a time to let go. It's time to let go. The second thing, if you remember, comparison will kill contentment. Stop comparing yourself with somebody else. Be the you God has created. Be happy and content with what you have. And even, you see, here's the other thing. We can't go forward if we're looking backwards. You can't drive down the road looking in your rearview mirror, can you? See, a rearview mirror is designed for a glance, not a stare. Just a glance up at it. You stare at it, you're going to crash your future, aren't you? You cannot go forward while you're looking in the rearview mirror. And even when we can't understand what it is that God is doing, we can still hold on to His hand and say, Lord, I don't have any idea what it is that You got going on, but here's the one thing I know, that You understand and You know, because Your vision is 2020. And I'm going to trust You. So my question is this, have we done that? Are we in those seasons of life where, you know, we're just trying our best to hold on? I'm going to ask our musicians to take their places. We look forward to our time of commitment to the Father. And I'm asking you that as you go into 2020, are these some things that not only you can do, I am asking, will you do these? Will you look at it and say, you know what, here's the thing. God is in control of my life. God is in control of what is taking place and what's going on. I'm going to trust Him. I don't like the season I'm in, but I'm also going to be careful not to try to pray my way out of a season that God is trying to test me in. I'm not going to compare myself to other people. There are a lot of people whose house is bigger than mine, car is bigger than mine, life seems to be going a whole lot better than mine, but that's only the tip of the iceberg that you see. And if you ever really got to talking with Him, you'll find out there's more of that iceberg under the water than the tip of what you just see. I guarantee you that some of you walked away going, thank God You didn't answer my prayer when it came to that. So the question is, are we really ready to embrace 2020? Have we cleaned things up? There's an old tradition, I think it's in Japan, that at New Year's what they do is they will open the door and they will sweep the whole house out and they'll sweep it out the door. It's just symbolic of getting rid of the old, bad, and welcoming in the good. Some of us need to open the door of our heart and sweep all the trash out. Boy, I could do a message on that one right there, couldn't I? About holding on to stuff. Some of y'all are hoarders. Y'all need to be on the TV show. Some of y'all won't throw nothing away. Not a thing. Man, you still have bills from 1966. I guarantee you, if you hadn't heard from them in 50 years, there's a good chance you won't. You could probably shred that baby. Why do we hold on to those things? And we really seem to hold on to things that are unhealthy for us. Let it go! So that God can put something in your hand that is useful. And something in your hand that is beneficial not only to you, but to the kingdom of God. Listen, have you trusted Christ? Have you given Him your life? Has there been that time when you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm gonna find myself in hell without You. Have you trusted Him? Listen, if not, we need to talk. I'm just going to invite you that when we begin to sing, I'd love to be able to sit down and share with you. Maybe you're here today and you're sitting back going, I have been doing the best I can and I'm doing it all wrong. I'm dragging this albatross called 2019 or 2013 or whatever it is. I'm dragging that albatross into 2020. God said, let it go. Let it go. It is time for something new. It is time for greatness. It is time to reach for what it is I am giving you. Maybe there's some things you need to cut loose today. Stop being a spiritual hoarder over junk that is baggage that's weighing you down, just a big old sack of rocks. Will you let that go today, permanently, because the Lord's ready to take your burden? The altar's here, I'm here, whatever you need. As we stand, as we sing, you do business.